Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 14 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Hey, listen, today we are going to have a blast. How not to act old is just one of the topics we're going to be covering with a celebrity, Pamela Redmond Satran, and you're going to be hearing more about this in just a moment. But first, this episode of Her is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. You'll learn more about them by going to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and review us, because we really, really welcome your thoughts. Not kidding here either. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
On this episode, we're excited to have Pamela Redmond Satran, and we're going to be discussing all kinds of things about, living younger and learning how to be able to not act old. Just a couple really hot topics here. Pamela Redmond Satran is a New York Times best-selling author of both humor books and novels, including Younger, now a television show created by Darren Star. She is also the co-author of a groundbreaking series on baby names and the co-creator of Nameberry, a columnist for Glamour. She lives in Los Angeles. Duh, obviously she lives in Los Angeles. That's where all of this stuff is going on, for crying out loud. Pam, welcome to Her.
It's great to be here.
All right, now I have in my hot little hands your books. The book Younger. Let's just start with that. This is the coolest novel. Why did you write it, and how in the heck did it turn into a TV series?
I wrote it because I was reading an article in Vogue about extreme plastic surgery, and it said that, you know, if you had enough money, you could go to some South American country and basically have your whole self remade into presumably a more beautiful, younger-looking self. And I was kind of thinking, you know, who would want to do that? You know, and why would you want to do that? Why would you want to go back to your 20s? And, you know, for me, the kind of going back to your 20s for women especially has a lot to do with children. Whatever choice you made, if you had children earlier and you stepped out of your career, a lot of those women in their 40s then think about, gee, I wish I'd kept working, or, you know, I wonder what would have happened if I had kept working and climbed in my career. And the women who were totally into their careers and did not have children often have the opposite thought, you know, I forgot to have a baby.
I know, whoops.
So, you know, the plastic surgery idea kind of fell by the wayside because I didn't want to write about the kind of woman who would have that kind of plastic surgery. But I thought of these two characters, Maggie and Liza, Alice in the book, who are childhood best friends. And Alice, who's called Liza in the television show, she had a child in her 20s. She was a full-time mom, and she did not work. And now she's in her 40s. Her daughter's grown up, and she's trying to get back into the workforce, and nobody wants to hire her. And her friend Maggie has been a successful artist, and now in her 40s is saying, oh, my God, I want to have a baby before it's too late.
I love
That was really my interest starting out. And that kind of morphed to Alice/Liza pretending to be in her 20s to really get a job and then sort of accidentally getting a whole young life.
Oh, I love it. That whole young life, younger. Okay, When did everything go to hell? when did she run into problems?
Oh, my goodness. Day one.
I think.
You know, it's, I think part of the message of the book and the show is, hey, it's a fantasy and it can be really great, but it can be exhausting. And, you know, ask any 26-year-old, it's not so incredibly wonderful being 26 either. You know, you don't make any money, you don't get treated very well at work, you work all the time, the guys are completely unreliable. So it's not all, you know, looking hot and having fun.
Yeah. Well, I congratulations on the television series. It's absolutely fabulous. I want to make sure everyone out there knows that this is a television show, and it is it's done extremely well. Tell us who the stars are in the show.
Well, Sutton Foster, who is a big Emmy-winning Broadway star, plays Liza. She's the lead. And she's amazing. You know, when I heard that she was cast in the role, I was just so excited. For one thing, because Darren Star cast a woman who really was in her 40s for this role. There was some talk that maybe an actress in her 20s or early 30s would be cast so that she could easily look younger, but, you know, act older. And Sutton Foster not only looks amazing, but she has the acting chops to kind of play off the idea that she is a 40-year-old pretending to be a 20-year-old who's really a 40-year-old. Hilary Duff plays her work best friend who is in her 20s. Miriam Shore plays her boss who is the quintessential you know, never married, no kids, working woman in her 40s. And Debbie Mazur plays her best friend, Maggie, who is in her 40s and has not had children.
I love it. This is all, well, you know, it's an interesting thing outside of this fantastic show and just ridiculously great book, Younger. You know, I'm looking at, I'm holding your other two books here that are my favorites. And everything sort of revolving around age. Like this next one is, you notice that. Are we a little obsessed, Pam? 30 things every woman should have and should know by the time she's 30. Okay, now, why did you choose 30, not 40, not 35 or 25? I mean, what's up with 30?
Well, it was really because that was written originally for Glamour magazine. It was a Glamour list column, which is a column that I actually still write. It was published in the 90s, kind of at the beginning of that column, nearly 20 years ago. And it was the age was 30 because that was the age of the Glamour reader. At the time, I was already over 30, but, you know, I think for women, 30 is this age that we often feel that we should have done or known, you know, that we should be grown-ups in some way by then, that we should have some accomplishments behind us. So that resonates too. But that list became a viral sensation. It was often called Maya Angelou's best poem ever, which I don't think is much
God.
Of a compliment. I know, isn't that nuts? And
I just love it.
By the time she's 30, kind of fell off as it made the rounds on the internet. So often that age piece of it is not attached anymore because I think women of a lot of ages can relate to that.
I love it. Well, you know, when I started reading the book, I love the way it's divvied up. Okay, so you've got by 30, you should have. Right. And so when you start with that, I love this one. A decent piece of furniture not previously owned by at least 35 other people. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it was like, oh, my God, you actually bought this yourself. Oh, my God. That's so funny. But it's true.
Yeah,
and
you know, I was sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I guess what I, you know, the point of these items is that, you know, they're kind of simple and straightforward, a piece of furniture, but there is a deeper message behind that. You know, it's like you're grown up enough that you go out and shop and choose, you know, and pay the money and choose something that's you. It's not, you know, your mom saying, oh, we have Aunt Shirley's couch that you can have for free.
I know, it's like, and- not. Yeah, you can keep that sucker. I'm on my way to IKEA. No, it's just, it's not happening, honey. Well, you know, here's one that was written by ZZ Packer, which I just love. It's just a one-liner. And that is, you know, by 30, you should have a youth you're content to move beyond. Wow. I kind of like that one, you know?
ZZ Packer didn't write that. I wrote that. But maybe she commented on it. I know. I was bad enough I had to put up with Maya Angelou all these years. Now
I'm holding
on to the authorship of that list. So
no, I just love this. And then, you know, what 30 means to me, you know, here's one you wrote, a resume that is not even the slightest bit padded. Like it's real. Oh my God, it's real.
When you're 22 and you're like reaching down deep, you know, that you volunteered for 1 week at the hospital and
oh my God.
But by 30 you've done real things.
And then here's something, you know, don't you think, and I'm sure a lot of us who are not 30 anymore, would have wished that someone sat us down and talked to about, by 30, you should know, right, how to fall in love without losing yourself. I thought that was Mission Impossible. Right?
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of us, struggle with that, at whatever age, especially women. It's, I heard a really interesting talk the other day about how, you know, for women, the whole point of every endeavor is to get to the relationship. You know, even if there's an accomplishment at the, you know, at the center, getting the job, writing the book or whatever, down deeper, it's really about relationship. And because that's so primary, I think that sometimes we just kind of get swamped by the experience and forget what we need and what we're about.
Well, you know, that also goes hand in hand with another one in that same category. By 30, you should know how to quit a job, break up with a man, and confront a friend without ruining the relationship or the friendship.
Mm.
So, you know, speaking of relationships, those are tough things. I can see a lot of women having a cringeable moment right now as they think about the last time they screwed up, you know, quitting a job, the last time all hell broke out and when they broke up with somebody. And, you know, when they confronted a friend, the whole friendship went to, you know, to trash.
Yeah. And
these are real skills, aren't they?
They are, you know, sometimes I, that's one that I find myself replaying in my head. I think that it's a huge challenge. And sometimes the biggest challenge is the one having to do with the girlfriend, because it seems like maybe that's the quote easiest one, you know, but I think a lot of times our relationships with our female friends are sort of based on agreement and non-confrontation. And so if something goes wrong and you've got to have the, you know, I was really upset when you did this to me, or, you know, I don't like it when you do that, it's kind of, there's so much emotion there and you're both so uncomfortable with it that the whole thing just blows apart. Or you basically lose the friendship because you don't want to have the confrontation. So,
exactly.
I think, what about for you? I mean, do you find which of those
is the
most difficult?
Why do you think I resonated with this one? I mean, I was looking at this going, you know, oh my gosh. And suddenly flashing before my face, Pam, you know, were times where I've really, you know, had trouble confronting someone, a friend, when things were not going so well. And and this actually occurred with one of my absolute BFFs. And sitting back and thinking about this, I said, you know, this friendship's not going where I want it to go, right? I wanted this to be deeper. I want us to take more time and dedicate more effort into nurturing this relationship. I just think it's just one of these things where, you know, we're really not tending to this. And then, of course, I have immediate visual of a dying plant, you know. And I said, I don't want it to go there. And you know something? At first, I thought, oh, my God, you know, what is she going to say? And you know, I'm probably risking everything. She said, you know, I've been thinking the same damn thing.
Wow.
And
that's
so,
great.
But she was having the same problem confronting as I was. So, you know, we were both terrified. You know, we were living in fear of losing each other. And instead, by just being authentic and truthful, you know, there you have it. Well, there's another one you also wrote here. What 30 means to me, how to live alone, even if you don't like to. Go to that place for a minute, Pam, because that's a wild one, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think at the heart of that is that we all need to, as women, need to know how to live happily enough by ourselves, even if that's not our first choice. Because the chances are, as a woman, that the day will come, even if you're happily married, you know, to your childhood sweetheart for your entire life, that you're going to be the one left living alone. And so, you know, better to learn some of the basic skills involved in doing that when you're 26 or 20, then do it for the first time when you're 78. I think
that's so powerful. So powerful. You know, women, I think that, you know, just oftentimes don't feel comfortable, you know, being alone because they think alone is lonely. It's not, you know, and if you, when you talk about relationships, Pam, you know, we have a relationship with ourselves. And I think that not enough women really are comfortable with just being with themselves, you know, going to a museum by yourself, sitting, you know, taking that run by yourself. You don't have to have, you know, hordes behind you running with you. And, you know, just sitting there reading a book quietly, meditating, anything, without having somebody there to help define you. You define yourself.
Right. And, preferably a male somebody, because it's, you know, having a man is kind of like the ultimate validation. I think, you know, obviously that's not really true or really true anymore, but I think our society still puts, you know, the woman who is truly attractive and accomplished and, you know, really the best kind of woman has a man by her side, or at least a partner by her side in this modern age. And so being alone, you know, I think there's still some of that old maid, you know, kind of loser stigma around that. But I think that that's falling away. There's a great new book out called All the Single Ladies by Rebecca Traister.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes, she's... Well, she's actually going to be on one of my future podcasts. We've already
got her. Awesome.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
Fantastic. You know, and it's kind of saying there's this whole new society and this whole new way of happily living. You know, I got divorced recently after 33 years of marriage. So
ouch.
And I am, you know... I bought the bed that I've been wanting since I was 8 years old, you know, the white four-poster bed. And every night, I tell all my girlfriends this, every night I get into that bed by myself, and I am just so happy.
Oh, God, that's so awesome. I love it. Oh, my gosh. You finally scored the four-poster bed. you know, and you've come full circle, man. I think that that's just amazing. I really do. You know, there's something else that resonated with this whole issue of what 30 means to me, kind of a thing. And that is this issue of taking things personally. You know, one of the things to learn, as you said so beautifully here, who you can trust, who you can't, and why you shouldn't take it personally. I think women's second career in life is taking everything personally. You look at them the wrong way. What did I do wrong? You know, you didn't do anything wrong. Right. I was just having a crappy day. Get over it. You know, it's like, I just think women take things personally. There's a that wonderful book, The Four Agreements, by the physician philosopher Ruiz. The second agreement is never, ever, under any circumstances, take anything personally. Because really, at the end of the day, it's never about you. It's always about how someone is viewing you. That's their story about you, not your story about you. And the problem I think a lot of women and people in general run into is they've never defined their own story. So they believe everyone else's story about them. All right, I'm fat, stupid, I'm an idiot, I'm a loser, and this is what someone else is saying through the filter of their own lens about you. But if you knew who you really were, you'd be able to deflect that like warp shields in Star Trek. I mean, you're like, whatever, you're a loser. Just go away. You know, you're bothering me. You're annoying me right now because you have issues and it's not about me. It's about you and your issues. So that whole issue about personally, taking it personally, go to that place for a second.
Well, I think it goes back in some ways to how important relationship is. And, probably to a misplaced sense of control or responsibility for how things go in a relationship. So, I can't help thinking about, the old women's magazine story, how to get a guy to like you. So it's all about you kind of changing yourself and morphing your behavior and your clothing and, your longer lashes and your hair color, whatever it is, to kind of incite this response from the world, and most particularly from the male world. I think, young women today are doing a better job of leaving that behind than we did. But because relationships are so important, I think that we see our behavior in the relationship as being very influential. So unhooking from that and saying, as you pointed out, that it isn't personal, that it's about them, that it doesn't, hey, maybe they do think you're, let's say, a bad writer, something that would bother me, they didn't want to publish my story. That means they think I'm a bad writer. I mean, I can go there really quickly. But you have to remind yourself, maybe they did think that, but that doesn't mean you need to think that. That doesn't mean everybody thinks that. And maybe what they really thought was, wow, she's a great writer, but not the kind of writer we're publishing right now. Or she's a great writer, and this idea is something we've done to recently. So I think that, or she's a great writer, but she's a woman and we hate women. Maybe.
Well, something, all of those things are not your issue. That's somebody else's issue. And that's what I love. So women out there in her podcast land, you heard me and you heard Pam. Wait a minute, that's Pam times two. Anyway, what you heard times two is just stop taking things so personally, because most of the time it has absolutely nothing to do with you. It's just funkiness. Now, speaking of funkiness, we're now going to move on to the final book. This book seriously was my fave. I mean, beyond How Not to Act Old. The reason why it was my fave, because I literally picked it up as soon as you'd send it to me, and I was rolling on the carpet with laughter because I could identify, sadly, with just about everything you wrote. I just, I no longer say dude. Awesome is out of my vocab, and it's all bad. What I must admit, and I I have to tell everyone out there, get this book. It is absolutely a scream. B, it was written beautifully, and it really, C, hits home. So I looked at the cover, and my jaw hit the floor. It was about a Richter scale, 7.9, because I saw a thong, right, on a clothesline, right next to the granny pants. I mean, the little, you know, the things that weigh about 9.6 pounds, and, you know, So the reason why I did that, I went immediately to, I think it was like number 59 of 185 ways, you know, to pass for sick, hot, dope, awesome, or at least not totally lame. Okay, so number 59 was don't fear the thong. Now, the reason why I really got into this was something that just cracked me up. Okay. So what cracked me up is that years ago, remember when the thong really kind of came out? It was like about 15 years ago when it suddenly everyone was sort of wearing it, you know, and before, you know, it was more like something you'd find in Fredericks of Hollywood or something bizarre and scary. And so I immediately, you know, resonated with it for a very funny reason. Now, Pam, you've never seen my behind. I have no behind. Okay, I was born with like a boy butt, you know, and you know, like a, there was never anything there. I've tried, I've done, you know, powerlifting, everything. I talk to my glutes at nighttime, please just get bigger, do something, and I'll end up with. So when I put on like regular underwear, it looked like I, you know, had a diaper with a load. I mean, there was just this extra material back there that just never worked for me. Right. And it was always squishy. Yeah. When the thong came out, it was seriously, it was like manna from heaven. It was, oh my God, something I can finally wear. And I put it on. It was perfect. Right. Because then I didn't have all that extra, you know, material back there. So there I am standing at my health club, which is the Equinox Club. Right. And I was in the locker room and I had just finished a workout and whatever. And I was, you know, getting ready to, you know, do my thing. And I was there in my little undies and there's my little, you know, sport thong, you know, and this was, you know, from some Under Armour thing that weighs 0.01 ounces. That's just really light and it's just sort of there. And I was listening to these two young millennials, right? And they were talking to each other going, oh my God, you know, I have to do it this way. Oh my God. Now I was born and raised in California, so I can do this really well. Oh my God. Can you imagine? My mother actually asked me, you know, if she should, you know, buy this thong. Oh my gosh, my mother in a thong. Then I thought, oh my God, I could be her mother. I could be her mother because I was doing some math here. And it was like, this is not good. So I'm standing there in a thong. She's saying how gross it is that her mother was. And I'm thinking, wow, is there an age at which I should not wear a thong? I mean, does it sort of evaporate? Does it burn up? Does it, you know, if I touch it over at Nordstrom's or at Saks, does it, you know, like singe my hands? Like, no, you can't. This isn't for you anymore. And I was laughing when I saw the thong on your cover and what it really meant. Now, you said that thongs are very uncomfortable and whatever. Yeah, it kind of depends, you know. But granny pants, no, we're not going to that place. But now they have all these other great things like bikinis and that are made from really super light fabric and things that now have no lining at all. And, and so that you don't even know you're wearing anything. I'm looking about like Commando and some of those brands and back and forth. So it's made life a lot easier and a lot more options. And so now I kind of resonate. I have a spectrum of options that I now have. Thank you for all of the wonderful people out there. But the thong thing, go to the thong thing for a minute. You know, this whole issue of looking sexy and just feeling comfortable no matter what your age is.
Yeah, I think, you know, I kind of have the opposite of butt issues than you have. So in some ways,
everyone does except me.
I kind of have, you know, Kim Kardashian butt, but it thong, you know, theoretically works well for that too, but I just don't get it. I mean, for me, it's hugely uncomfortable, and I kind of think you know, in terms of those girls in the locker room, you can't win, because if you're wearing, you know, cotton bikinis, I mean, I have my standard Gap, you know, gray or black cotton bikinis, that's really old and out of it. And if you're wearing a thong, then you're trying too hard to not be old and out of it. So, you know, you're basically screwed no matter which way you go.
I just love, you know, the way you put that, you know, together on the overall, because, you know, as I went through all of this, it just made me smile. And that is really, in many respects, you know, age is just a number, you know, people kick butt all the way through. I was just out in Santa Fe and, you know, visited Georgia O'Keeffe's house, and she was kicking butt she was almost 100, And she was just, she had bad attitude, you know, toward people who had bad attitude, period. And she was just constantly doing her own thing and just sort of making it work. And she was ageless. She was very ageless.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, you know, I mean, so when I read this, there were some beautiful reminders here, I think, and humorous. Your humor is fabulous, Pam, by the way.
Thanks.
Just little reminders of how to keep it ageless and how to keep it rocking no matter what your age. Do you think that's one of the big messages?
Yeah, I think definitely it is. And I think that the experience for me of writing that book, which started as a blog, really kind of like fed into the pleasure that I started to talk about and feel and try to convey to other people, because I initially tried to sell that as a little magazine article. You know, my thought was 10 ways not to act old. You know, we've all read it or something like it. And nobody would buy it. And it was one, nobody was interested. And it was one case where I said, you know, I think this is a great idea. And I want to learn to blog anyway, so I'm going to do it. I'm just going to put it up there. I'm just going to try it. And I built up this blog very quickly. You know, I was, my teenage sons were helping me. You know, I'm like, how do I download a picture? I didn't know how to do anything. And and the blog got a lot of attention very quickly. And I sold it as a book 6 weeks later. So it was, and then it became a New York Times bestseller. So it was really enormously satisfying. It was very fun to write. And I felt, you know, like I got a lot of confirmation of doing the thing that I wanted to do that I thought was funny and interesting, even if at first the rest of the world did not agree.
Well, I thought it was really balanced. And that is one of the things you said, like, for instance, throw off the middle-aged burqa. I mean, it's so funny. I used to call it that, too, which is,
wow,
you know, sort of like, you know, it's like hide it clothes. And everything comes in black, navy, and dark brown. It's like, come on, girlfriends. There's a whole, you know, rainbow of colors out there you're missing. And the 12 things you can't even think about wearing for women. The reason why I love all this is because, just like with that thong thing, there's always a compromise. Clearly, you don't want to be walking around looking like Miley Cyrus, with all due respect to Miley. You know, if you're 55 years old, it looks stupid, right? On the other hand, you could still look fabulous. It's just that you have to be more strategic about it. So you don't want to look dumpy and frumpy and with that thing going on. And you don't want to, you know, look crazed, like you want to be 12 again or something. You just, something in between. And it was a beautiful reminder throughout each one of these, you know, ways that you pointed out to be able to make it work. And you did it once again. You're a real wordsmith. You do it beautifully. I still laugh. Don't be named Bob or Pat. Oh, my God. I just
or Pam.
Hey, be cool now. Pam is a very, very wonderful name, I must say. And don't lust after Paul McCartney. Thank God I never did. And it just sort of never happened. So as a last thing here, Pam, what are your new projects here? You got a new television show coming up? What's going on?
Well, Younger, the show is debuting in third season on September 28th. So that's very exciting.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's already been ordered for a fourth season. So I think Darren Starr, who made the show, is also the person who made Sex and the City and Beverly Hills 90210. So I think he's made a hit out of that show, too. So I've just started writing television pilots of my own. And so maybe one of these days I'll sell one of those. And I'm in the middle of writing a new novel that also has an age-related theme. So that's very fun to write. I'm very excited about that. So we will see, but I am even deeper into this age thing than ever.
Well, I just love it, and I really think that you've done it masterfully. And so
thank you
so much. On behalf of our huge Her listener audience, I thank you for doing the work you're doing, because this just kicks butt. I just love it.
Thank you.
And you also make it really easy to digest, because some of these are kind of, you know, tough and challenging issues, but you have a way of being able to share that that wisdom in a way that makes it easy to go down, and of course we have a good laugh at the same time. So keep it up, and Pam, thank you for being on Her. This has been fabulous. Everyone out there, we've been talking to Pamela Redmond-Satran, the New York Times bestselling author of amazing books, all of which I've gone through right and left. If you want to learn more about her, go to Pamela Redmond Satran. That's S as in Sam, ATRAN.com. And we've been talking about all things, well, age. What can I say? Thank you, Pam. All right. Remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Because we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And this happens only when you take the time to rate it. While you're at it, hey, please leave a review. Just remember, my mother reads these things. We're very sensitive, you know. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeakeMD. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and please stay well.